You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's time for our February edition of Campus Connection. I'm your host, Angela Denning. I'm joined here in the studio by Superintendent Erica Kluepainter. We'll be discussing tonight's school board meeting. Tonight's meeting will be in person in the high school library as well as online over Ring Central. People can also stream on KFSK to listen to the meeting, kfsk.org, as we will be broadcasting the meeting live. Hi, Erica.
Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. Just looking over at tonight's agenda, one of the main topics that I noticed was going over the damages sustained at the school buildings from all the snow and ice earlier this winter. And I know we talked about it last month, but at that time, it was kind of like the week of insurance people coming to town. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I remember your comments being like, it's going to be major, but we just don't know the details yet. Yeah. But now the details, there's a, you know, lengthy, many pages long document that's documenting all of the damages. And I mean, wow, like little tiny, the tiniest of details in that assessment. And tonight, the maintenance director is going to be going over some of that, right?
Yep. Aaron Buller will be there tonight, and he will be just kind of talking through a little bit, giving a little bit of perspective about, you know, how it's gone the last few weeks, what they've been able to accomplish, which is a lot, and just kind of the procedures and processes that they've been going through to slow down the leaking and then, deal with, you know, whether it's sheetrock or ceiling tiles and all the things that you have to do there. And being able to get the spaces to be functional, which they are, we've got our kids back in the band room and that sort of thing. So, you know, they've done a great job with that. And of course, now we're waiting. We are going to be working with putting out like a request for a proposal to get somebody to come down and do the roof work. That's going to have to be put out, you know, to bid. That's too technical. We need somebody else to come do it. So we are going to be having some of those sections of the roof that will be replaced, long overdue. So band room area, the area over the back classrooms over there, the library, those are, you know, and little things keep cropping up. You know, we're still having some issues with some drains. We're having issues. Yeah, another leak today that came down into the tech room. And so, you know, it's just, it was pretty substantial. Those huge icicles and all the rest, you know, sounding like a truck hitting the building and, you know, falling in. I mean, they just puncture, you know, right through. So
I did notice when I was looking at that assessment how many different areas there were, you know. I mean, some of it was not huge, it seems like, in certain certain classrooms or certain roof areas, but then some were, you know, very substantial, of course, like the auditorium I noticed was kind of an area, but that's the oldest part of the building, right?
It is kind of that backside, you know, is where we're seeing a lot of, you know, issues on that kind of that backside. And so, and again, these, you know, these little pieces of flat roof areas are not helpful. And that roof is, you know, the drains are the drain. And, you know, it's not like a, you know, even the elementary school, you know, has a bit of a slope to it. And, you know, things just kind of shuck off the side and, you know, go into the gutters and do what they're supposed to do. But, you know, this building, I mean, like we've said it a couple of times, it's a beautiful building, but it is architecturally, you know, to look at and all of that, it's great. But it not a great design for Southeast, and especially when you have snow and then it rains, which is what it does here, you know. So some work to do. It's going to be a big process. So, but our crew's been great. We really appreciate all the work Aaron's doing. And of course, Kevin Hagen's been kind of a contractor on retainer, I guess, for us. And he's been great. He's got some experience doing this kind of work. So he was really helpful just, you know, in helping us know, you know, take these pictures, do it this way, you know, keep track of, you know, how much work is going in and, you know, what it looks like. So when they came to do the walkthrough and all that, you know, we had a lot of information for them already, and that was helpful for them. And so we were able to get that quote back, you know, quickly. So we'll be doing quite a bit of work in-house, of course, but we have to fix the roofs before we can do too much work inside, because, of course, if it's still leaking, you know, it'll keep damaging. So Hi, Sarah.
Let me turn on your mic. Sarah Holmgren, president of the school board. Thanks for making it.
Thank you. terrible. It's coming up. A little bit of a habit. Unintentional,
no,
that's for sure.
We just started. We were just starting to talk about the first topic, which is the damages.
Ooh,
and so, you know, the total is $245,000, but that's just all kinds of different things in that total. So it sounds like your local maintenance crew is able to do some kind of stuff on the interior to keep all of the areas still open to students.
Yes. And that's what they've been working on. And then, of course, whenever it rains, as it is today and has been for a couple of days, then you got to do another perimeter sort of walk around. And of course, like I said, we've already found another little area in the tech room, so near a server, which we caught.
Okay.
Which is good, but oh my, yes. So,
when this goes out to bid, and I mean all of that, is that something where the insurance company, you know, it's like, oh, well, we'll replace it, but you really, I mean, you don't want the same thing for the same kind of problem in the future.
Right, exactly.
So is that, what does that look like?
Well, and I would say that those are questions that we have had and that we have a good lead on somebody that we want to talk to that was recommended as a possible person by the insurance company, just to say, like, this is somebody you could run this past. This is somebody who has done work in Southeast. They are a roofing contractor. They could answer some of those specific questions, because you're exactly right. That's exactly what Aaron was talking about. And Kevin just saying, oof, you know, these membrane roofs, they sound great because they do, I mean, you know, they're supposed to keep rain off and water and that sort of thing. But there's not, you know, I don't think there's enough of a hard backing underneath those. That's what was found, you know, with some of those huge ice dams, really, the large icicles and all that, when they fell, I mean, they literally did puncture through, you know, so they need some more backing. Those are some of the questions that I think our crew has, you know, what can we do to shore it up a little bit? Because we clearly aren't building separate. I mean, we're not going to be able to build peaked roofs, you know, at this point on here. So how do we, you know, how do we shore this up a little better? So
I was going to ask about that. I mean, could you even get like a couple degrees of a slope or is it, you know, you're stuck with flat until a whole like complete redo?
Probably. But again, I don't want to, I probably shouldn't say that, because they may have some suggestions about things like that. You know, there may be some things that, because there are things on the roofs that are already kind of sloped and that kind of thing. You know, they're supposed to direct toward a drain and, you know, all those things. And they do when it's, you know, when it's sort of just rain and maybe a reasonable amount of snow, but, you know, you get all that ice. We did ask some questions about what, you know, if there were some things we could do in some of those valleys that are so, that have those huge icicle areas, because you can't, I mean, once they come, they're like stalactites. You can't, and they're difficult to get to sort of knock off. And so when do you knock them off? And then when they're that large, I mean, they're like cars.
Yes.
When they fall,
they're creating damage themselves. I mean, just on little buildings around town, there were, you know, longer than people. They were enormous.
On the backside of Trading Union, went from the roof to the first floor. And it's three stories.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible how long they were. And I thought, my concern was weight, you know, the weight pulling on that part of your building. But my background was commercial property management, so I've been on a lot of flat roofs in my life, and most of them are sloped, but they're also not necessarily designed for the sheer volume we had. I'm sure that, you know, when it was built in 86, it wasn't with that kind of intent, you know, the sheer volume that we got. But it's hard when you get that big a span. How do you structurally deal with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can't predict the weather next year. You know?
Right.
I mean, and you got to put the HVAC system somewhere, usually on the roof.
An anomaly.
Anything
else you wanted to add there? I guess there is something else so it sounds like there's a lot that needs to happen before the major roof repairs will take place. Could that happen in the school year while students are in session? Or?
I think the hope is to get that done. I mean, get it out to bid, get some bids coming in and get it scheduled, and hopefully, you know, have them have enough time to order what they need for equipment and supplies and materials. And then get it done as early in the summer as we can, so that they can then go in and finish, you know, the ceiling tile work and the sheetrock work and all that that's inside. And that's our crew that will probably do that. You know, we'll probably do that locally, but it doesn't make sense to, you know, fix all those things now. So they're all open at this point. I mean, everything that was wet is, you know, is removed. So the ceiling doesn't look great, you know, in the band room, but I mean, it's safe and it's all cleared out and, you know, they've done everything they need to do there. So, so things are functional, but, they can't really do any of that work till, you know, till the roofing happens. So hopefully it'll be, you know, right at the end of the school year and we can get them, you know, started right away and hopefully get the work done and then finish those other pieces. They're going to have a busy summer.
And like you say,
let's hope for decent weather.
Yeah. And just getting supplies, like you said, can be so delayed these days.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
And then a bobcat. That's kind of part of the same story. This was identified during this kind of snow ice crisis. That you don't have
really see where you're deficient when it's overloaded.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had one, but I'm sure what I read was it wasn't adequate.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it was 2011, and it has some other structural, I mean, some other issues, some other damage that's been done to it just from being used. You know, it's 11 years old now, I guess, or, you know, 10 and a half. So, and it's small. It's meant to do the work that it does around the district, which is, you know, run up and down a sidewalk and, you know, clear out some areas, maybe, you know, under the covered areas or, you know, get walkways cleared off, that kind of thing. And it does that. And it does just fine. Excuse me. With that, it could not move the volume, you know, that we needed at the time. And then also this particular piece of equipment has some other abilities to do other things. So there's some different attachments and things that you can use that can even like things that we either haven't had or that can replace, again, older equipment. For mowing, it's got a good attachment for that. So like behind the elementary school, they have to do a lot of that and kind of keep the track graded, our little track back there, you know, that kind of stuff. So it'll work for that. It'll pick up the gravel off all the sidewalks. It'll, you know, it'll do some of that work. So again, it's just kind of that focus on safety too. And yeah, it can handle it. So.
And where's the funding? It's $78,000. Where's that funding coming from?
That's within the vehicle replacement budget, and that was, we did transfer some money. The board approved some of that at the last meeting to kind of add some more to the vehicle replacement and make that happen. So, yep, it's pretty necessary, I think.
Okay. Anything, Sarah, that you wanted to add about damages or anything like that? Okay. Another thing on the agenda tonight is the new calendar, and it's new in that it's for next school year, but it looks a lot like this past year, or recent years anyway, in terms of the start date and end date. I think it looks like starting August 30th and ending June 1st. Anything about the calendar that is different?
There's nothing really hugely different. The last couple of years, I feel like it's been 2 years, but I don't know. We have had an in-service day right after Christmas, right after the vacation. So it kind of gives a little bit of a buffer for families and students who are traveling maybe, and then teachers would come in and it kind of allowed them to have that day to, you know, get prepared, especially if they're moving between quarters and that sort of thing. So this year or this coming year, one of the things that's a little bit different is the Monday is that observed New Year's holiday, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of funny how it falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, so it'll actually be 2 weeks and a day for everyone, and then the in-service day would be on the Tuesday. So anyway, that's nothing too earth-shattering. So, you know, a few in-service days sprinkled throughout, and 4 days at the beginning, and a spring break middle of March that lines up with some other activities. And yeah, I think that's about it. Took some feedback from people throughout the year, and we've had a few parents, you know, email in saying, you know, looks good, thank you, or, you know, whatever. So I don't know if anybody else has heard anything, but.
Well, I mean, after Christmas this year, in terms of that buffer day, I would say some people really needed that.
Exactly.
We all need to be shoveling somewhere, whether it was at work or at home.
Yeah, and then just getting back to town if you were traveling.
Yeah, that too.
I think
that's true,
because
the storm
down.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest, where Seattle was kind of a
that
mess.
That was us.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We were stuck in it.
Yeah. Okay, and then one thing that's on the agenda that is, it's a review of the COVID procedures. Now, that's something that, Sarah, the board has indicated that you wanted to review regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there was, I mean, last month we had a split, you know, it was 3-2 on keeping full masking. And I think, you know, a lot of us, at least for the three that voted to keep masking, I think it was pretty much wanting to see what would happen over the you know, actually only 3 weeks between the last board meeting, because we had to delay it, and this one, to just see what was going on in the community, knowing that there was a surge going on elsewhere in the state. We're still pretty low. I looked last night again, and I think high school was still at zero, middle school was at one, and the grade school was at 6 or 8. I can't remember. So mm-hmm. it's good to see that. That's what we want. You know, it's not that we're, you know, and so we have, I think at least one board member wants to, you know, and we committed to reviewing it again to see where we're at. And that's part of the process too. And I think at least one board member might be presenting something, an alternative to what we're doing right now. Not too far off, I think, from option, the other option that was presented mm-hmm. that Erica brought forth last month. But I haven't seen it myself, but I would say publicly that I'm open to what I think it's going to be. You know, they've just expressed some changes for at least K through fifth grade. I know we have a lot of kids in activities in sixth through eighth grade, which we established last month. I think it was 82% of our kids were involved in some activity at that moment. With those restrictions, because we're a membership of a larger group in the state of keeping other kids safe when we interact with them, we need to adhere to those requirements, but also desires of other towns. And so I think there might still be some caution with middle school and high school. But again, it's up for consideration tonight again. And I know some parents may want to come again tonight. I honestly don't know how many people will come tonight. But I think if necessary, we'll probably lengthen our time. You know, our board policy does say 30 minutes. If we need to lengthen it to a longer period, the board can vote to do that. And if we have to even skim it down from there, similar to what Mayor Mark Jensen has done in the past, is, well, if you sent in a letter, that's your testimony. If you didn't send in a letter, you can get up and speak. So, but we have to cross that bridge, we will. But last month, we didn't necessarily have to. We kind of stayed pretty darn close to that 30 minutes. We only had 4 new speakers. The rest were rereading their letters. So I don't know what will happen. We've had a few over the last couple weeks.
I was going to ask about
letters.
Yeah,
we just had a few. So they'll be part of the public record. So if anybody wants to read them, then go onto the district website and go under school board, and you can look at our older meetings, like this one coming up. Anything that met the deadline will be attached. And then anything that was received after the deadline is attached to this month's. And then last month's, if we received them before the deadline, then you could go back and look at them. And I do encourage people to go back and read them. You can see what your local community members are sharing, mm-hmm. Good, bad, or indifferent. But
I remember at the last meeting when you were talking about kind of different options, mm-hmm. there was a lot of discussion, or at least at the work session especially, mm-hmm. That was specifically about the COVID procedures at the district. You were talking about the K through 5 mm-hmm. Being different than the middle and high school because they're more stationary inside their classrooms and not blending like the changing of classes at the secondary schools. Mm-hmm. But at this point, we don't know what the proposal is, whether it'd be like, because I think there was some discussion.
I think
about...
it's probably along those lines, because you've got K through fifth grade, you know, like you said, they're pretty much in their group. Whereas and I think that's where you can get the difference in opinion for even staff. The elementary school, their daily life is very different than the middle school and high school, where there's a lot more mixing. Mm-hmm.
You don't have any idea if it'll be like maybe masking on the move or
I think just... that's the lean. Yeah, I think that's the lean. So, but again, it'll be a discussion tonight, but I think that's where it's moving. It's not going to necessarily be everything gone. I don't know, unless something just had a conversation this weekend and just kind of giving me a heads up that there might be another proposal to bring forward, which is great. That's why we have 5 of us. That's why you do this, why it isn't one person making the decision. And we'll have hopefully have enough time, not only for if people want to talk, but also the board needs to have enough time to have a discussion about it, but including any testimony in the community. We all need to have that conversation with each other in a public environment.
Now, when we say masking on the move, mm-hmm. Can you kind of explain that?
Well, I think what we've talked about or considered and discussed before was masking when you leave your classroom, kind of like masking when you leave your house. You know, if your classroom becomes, then your exposure is only within your classmates and your teacher in your classroom. And not necessarily other kids in other grades, which is another reason why I think masking on buses is so important. You're mixing with a bunch of kids that you don't normally have in contact. Parents don't necessarily have that control to say, families have different lifestyle choices, and your child may not, you know, as a parent, I don't necessarily want you sitting next close to someone unmasked because of their family lifestyle choices. So that's why I still think, like, fortunately, mm-hmm. it's a federal law, regardless of what happens tonight. I still think it's extremely important we maintain that through the school year, just for those reasons, because you have so much intermixing and a parent does not have that control. In a classroom, you could argue the same thing. A parent doesn't have that control, but they also, your exposure is less. You know, it's more of a controlled environment, I guess.
Okay.
But I also want to remind people in Petersburg, too, that there is no other job in Petersburg where you have that many people that close together for that long a time. You can argue maybe, you know, at the grocery store, but even the clerks that see dozens and dozens of people all day long, it's not for 15 minutes straight. And it's just a reminder that schools are absolutely unique. The teachers and the staff that work at the school are absolutely unique in their job description. I'm never surrounded by 25 people at the same time unless I'm at a board meeting, and even before all this. So mm-hmm. it's no wonder our teachers got colds and flus and lice sometimes working in that environment. So I think as we look around town and we say, well, the borough doesn't have, you know, none of their staff is masked, or the hospital does it for obvious reasons, but, you know, a few of the other entities maybe aren't. They're not cramming 15 kids or adults into a room for 6 hours a day with each other. But I'm also getting to the point just nationally realizing or seeing, you know, that the threat is going down, and that I will say even now that I'm ready to try something different. Let's go ahead and dip our toe in and see if we can come up with something a little different and see if we're still good at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Now, but that's me. That's just me. I'm not talking for the entire board.
Okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Sorry.
Well, no, when we bring up, you know, COVID procedures at the mm-hmm. school district or almost anywhere, people want to talk about masking more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, that it was brought up at the local convoy over the weekend and other places. But the school district has a bunch of other procedures that you have done in the past and are doing now. And the school board last month voted in this new procedure mm-hmm. policy. And that included some changes to quarantines and to travel testing.
It did.
How is that going? It included shortening the quarantine time mm-hmm. and then basically getting rid of travel testing requirements mm-hmm. entirely at the district. Mm-hmm. How are the other, you know, changes to the COVID procedures going besides masking?
Do you want me to take that?
For you, yes, okay. That's kind of a daily.
I'm glad that you brought that up and that we kind of got to this point in the conversation too about talking about those layered mitigation strategies, because that has been a big focus when this all began, and really, you know, initially early on, even in 2020, you know, really recognizing as we learn more about it, you know, there are multiple things that can and should be done, you know, so whether it's thinking about ventilation and hygiene and, you know, coughing in your arm and all the things that are sort of normal things that people should be doing, but really being very intentional about it. So I do think it's important just to keep that in mind, you know, that it is layers. And I will say we've talked a lot about this, you know, in state meetings that I'm in, whether it's with other districts, superintendents, with the healthcare professionals from DHSS. I'm on calls at least once a week with, you know, the various groups. And so talking about how things are going in different districts, what are people doing? How is it working? You know, what protocols are happening and all of that. And people are right when they talk about there's lots of things happening in different places. That's very true. I mean, things are different in different states. You know, there's different sorts of travel things. You know, being on an island might look different than being in the middle of, you know, New York City. I mean, you know, all of those things. So recognizing that, it's important. I will say that I think we are all recognizing that and understand it and agree that, you know, we ramped up to this over the last 2 years. And this is, we've been having these conversations with other superintendents and just saying, you know, we ramped up to this, when do we ramp down? And how do we ramp down? And how do you do it, you know, methodically and responsibly? And that's where I'm coming from. And you know, again, I think we always have to kind of step back, or I do, and just make sure that, you know, what are the reasons that we are trying to do this? We are looking out for health of our students and staff. Many people have different opinions about that, but that for me is still the ultimate goal. We are responsible for kids and staff when they're here in our care. So it should be our primary responsibility and focus. And then also just, you know, everything we can do to keep our kids in-person learning and keep them in their activities. That's been the common thread, you know, all those things throughout this. So for me, it's not a political conversation. It's just a health conversation and hopefully more of an education conversation. You know, how do we get back to that? You know, so I think we're making progress in that. I think those new protocols, like you said, we did implement those. It's been going well. I mean, we appreciate it's taken a huge load off of our staff that's been spending so much time on contact tracing and phone calls and emails and all that stuff. What we're doing right now, and parents have been great. They've been so great. People are taking advantage of the home tests. They are communicating with us about it. They're keeping their, you know, siblings home. They've been great. And I think people appreciate, because it isn't necessarily 10 days unless they don't feel well, you know, and we've certainly had some parents that have said, you know, my kid's not feeling well still, and you know, they have a fever, and you know, if they don't have to come back after 5 days, they, especially if they're not feeling well, and they can't come back if they still have symptoms. So anyway, people have been great. Parents have been great. People have been picking up tests or asking us to send them home with their kids. And that's super important. We don't need to be managing all of that in the building, and it's been great. So, same with the emails and the follow-ups and the phone calls. Our nurse Trish has been able to communicate directly with kids and families. And then they, you know, work through the process. And then basically we just, you know, we send a letter to everybody in the class or everybody in the grade, depending on if it's a secondary, and just saying your child may have been exposed. Make sure you've got some tests at home. If you need some, you know, let us know, watch for these symptoms. But they don't have to stay out of school, and that's vaccinated or unvaccinated. All these protocols and policies right now are the same. They're the same for everybody. I mean, we're testing the same way for activities. So when people have had that conversation, you know, about there's people can still get it and people can still be sick and people can still pass it. That's true. That is true. So, so far, you know, it seems to be going well, and kids for the most part, do seem to be faring pretty well with it. You know, they feel crummy and it's bad cold, lots of runny noses and stuff like that. That's what a lot of parents are telling us. And then they're coming back in the building, you know, around day six, if they're not fevering. And so far we've had some pockets where there's definitely been some cases that have, you know, sprung up in a room, masked or not, which we all know, and overlapping in other places too. So, I do think we're moving out of this. I mean, I do feel like that. I don't know if people just need to hear me say that, but
compared to last year at this time, kid would go home for 2 weeks. The whole class would get shut down. You know, it's like if we really look and see where we've come, even in 12 months, we've gone from positive case, everybody go home, get tested, we're not back at school for 2 weeks, to you are the only one going home. The rest of the class just pay attention to see what's, you know, if you get any more symptoms. The rest of you can stay in class and aren't sent home. And that's huge. I think we have forgotten that.
Yeah. So disruption wise, I would say that we have definitely seen fewer disruptions in that sense. And I think staff has also feels that way, you know. So like you said, it's masking, of course, is a huge conversation and a huge issue. And we know that. But it's important to remember it's one piece of all of these strategies. And we are making headway. We are moving forward. We are, just like you said, we're not sending everybody home for 2 weeks and doing all those things. So it's making a huge difference for just the disruption factor. Probably the most thing we're dealing with right now is people on trips. Honestly, as far as attendance, I'm just, you know, it's not necessarily COVID related. It's just travel. Yeah.
Well, you know. Speaking of those trips, you mentioned, so there's, you know, it's not really that there's no travel testing. There's no general travel testing for people who are going on family vacations or that kind of thing. But for activity students and sports students, there's still biweekly mm-hmm. testing that's required.
Yes, and that is the only on-site regular testing that we are doing now, unless people ask us to do it. I mean, and a lot of times, especially in the secondary schools, we do have people that are opting their kids in because, you know, it's a regular thing. It's just Monday and Thursday, everybody comes in. So some parents and kids want their, you know, they want their kids to just go ahead and do that, whether they're in an activity or not. So we do have a few that just keep doing that, and it's fine. You know, it works. We still, Mr. Troutman still comes up and helps us, which is great. Retired fabulous science teacher. So
are you still, is the health advisory committee still meeting? That mm-hmm. was a weekly gathering, and there were a lot of people. I wrote them down here mm-hmm. who were part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
School board member. Is it always the same school board member?
Yes. At this point, it's Meg Winster. Okay. And yes, and we do. And actually, we meet on Tuesdays. So we are meeting again today at 4:00. And we have been meeting regularly. And we do have several representatives, like you said, public health, from the medical center. Sandy Dixon is on there. We do have a couple. We have a teacher rep and a classified rep. Myself, Meg.
Public health nurse, I have
written down. Yeah, Aaron's on there. Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's very much more of a, I mean, it's a local group, you know, mm-hmm. people that are in the school and people that are in the medical field and, or, you know, part of the emergency preparedness like Sandy. So, and it's nice. We get updates on where things are and, you know, our health nurse, Trish, she's on there, of course. But, so we did have a lengthy discussion last week, as Sarah was alluding to, you know, that we may have a board member that's interested in talking more. And I think the vote showed that. During the meeting mm-hmm. last week, I mean, or last month. I mean, I think people, I think we're all ready to, you know, try to maybe start peeling things off. Some people, I think, want to do it quicker than others. I do tend to be more cautious, and I'm happy to say that out loud, because I do feel a pretty huge sense of responsibility. So, and I know the board does too. So I don't think any of us want to do anything that's, you know, too quick or too whatever. So it's important to think it all through and talk it through. And, you know, so we've had good conversations, and I think Dr. T said it during the meeting, and he said it during our health advisory, you know, you just have to figure out what your level of risk is, you know, what you're willing to assume and what you're willing to tolerate. And, there's no magic answer, you know, as districts all around the state are doing lots of different things. And there's no magic, you know, answer. Yeah. There just isn't. So,
yeah. Okay. So that review of the COVID procedures could end up being a little bit of a discussion.
Yeah. Okay. I think it will be just because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there is a presentation tonight. Just to let folks know, the meeting will actually start with a presentation from the special education department mm-hmm. at the high school, mm-hmm. right? Talking about their shredding program.
Yes, and I think you've done a little story about
that. Yeah, it's been
before.
A while, but yeah. Cindy Fry is mm-hmm. the main lead on that, and she'll be kind of explaining what's available. And it's a business, so you know, she can explain how that works with the community.
It'll be nice.
It's going to be great. You'll get to see. I don't think she's bringing kids tonight, but I think she's going to have some videos and some things just to share. So you can see it. It's been great. And she said they're busy.
Okay.
I mean, they're probably.
I need to find out where to drop off.
Yes,
stuff.
You do. They do good work. It's going really well. Nice to see them. Yeah. Kids
being
able
to get an update. I think mm-hmm. The last story we did was we're just kind of talking about it starting. But
yeah.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to mention about the meeting tonight?
No, but I'll make a plug on air. I will probably say something about it tonight, but tomorrow there is the opportunity for a lot of the parents that have been advocating for their kids quite heavily for a while. They can advocate more for their kids tomorrow by either writing in. I'm going to give the links tonight, but you can also go online and look for them, or call in testimony for a house bill that is having the discussion of increasing the base student allocation. So it hasn't been increased since 2017, although the legislature has done special funding periodically, mm-hmm. but this is to say, this is how much it's going to be this year. This is how much it's going to be the next year, you know, kind of set it out to make it easier for districts to budget, especially as, you know, maybe we go back to a more, just make it easier for us to budget, knowing what we're going to get from the state and not have to hold our breath every May and find out. So this would be a perfect opportunity for lots of parents, because most of the time they hear from board members or superintendents or the business manager for a district, they don't hear from a lot of parents. And that is super important for people to call in and write in. They can send an email to the entire committee and, you know, advocate a different way for their students. You know,
so that's a house bill?
It is a house bill. Yeah, I don't. Okay. I'm not drawing my blank on my head on off the top of my head, but I have it.
I've got it too. I don't want to say
and
the
I figure
one.
We could put probably a link maybe even on the Facebook page or something, but I just wanted to bring it to people's attention tonight since it's the testimony is from 9 to 10 tomorrow, but you can also just email. If you can't, you know, a lot of people work, they can't break away during that period of time and wait online to speak, but their email can be sent with just one, kind of like ours, with one email, you can send it and it goes to all the committee members and they all see it. So
okay, awesome.
Good reminder.
Yeah. Anything else, Erica?
I would just also say that February is School Board Appreciation Month, and I would like to publicly thank and acknowledge the incredibly difficult work that our board members have been participating in, some more recently than others, and some who have been around for quite a long time, Miss Sarah. So I do want to just recognize the especially during this time, but really just in any time. You know, we really have a lot of strong advocates on this board, and they care a lot about what happens with kids in our community and their education and their overall well-being, as well as the staff. So I think we're very fortunate in our district. So anyway, just want to say that publicly.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for joining us. This is the end of the edition of Campus Connection. Again, the regular school board meeting will be taking place tonight at 6 p.m. at the high school library, also online over Ring Central Conferencing. To participate in the meeting, people can get the passcode information for Ring Central from the school district office. You can listen to the meeting on KFSK. We'll be streaming it live, the whole meeting, starting at 6. And if you missed any part of this show, we will be posting all of it on our website later on.